Welcome to Regulatory Ramblings. Last year, India's Parliament passed a landmark piece of legislation in the form of the Digital Personal Data Protection Act 2023. The DPDPA is a crucial legislative initiative that aims to safeguard personal data in the digital age. It focuses on empowering individuals with control over the data, setting stringent guidelines for responsible data handling, that also strike a balance between privacy protection and data-driven innovations. Our guest today, Anandade Mishra, is going to help us delve into the topic. He's the founder and managing partner of AM Legals, a specialist multidisciplinary law firm with a presence all over India. They provide advice on value and strategy in tax, tech, commercial, litigation, and arbitration matters. With close to three decades of experience as a lawyer and strategic advisor, Anand, as we call him, works with clients across various sectors and jurisdictions. He delivers sound legal advice, and that's also innovative, empowering his clients with effective solutions. His areas of practice focus on arbitration, data protection and privacy, contract law, employment, taxation, and white-collar crime. He handles litigation in the various constitutional courts of India. With a rich experience in M&A, joint ventures, due diligence, and cross-border transactions, he's authored multiple books and white papers on various legal topics and has been ranked as one of the top 100 lawyers to be followed on LinkedIn globally. And he's also recently been bestowed with a badge of Top Data Privacy Voice by LinkedIn. He's also a professional member of the International Association Privacy Professionals, and holds the certification of Technical Privacy Masterclass. He's passionate about advancing his knowledge and skills and contributing to the legal community and society. Anand, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Ajit.
Real quickly, I mean, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up? How did you get into the legal profession, and what is it about data protection and privacy that interests you? That seems to be how you become known in recent times because of that. That's your claim to fame as of right now, even though you've done a great many other things. But tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up, and how did you get into the legal profession?
Well, since my childhood, I was passionate about oratory skills as well as communication, and I wanted to carry out something where I can convince, get the rights preserved and can handle and bring some relief to the persons who are having problem, pain. And that was the inspiration. And even my father is also a lawyer,
okay,
though he had been with government organizations. But I had inclination towards the law from my childhood. And over the period of time, I found, yes, this is something which is very close to my heart. So I started with taxation, arbitration from the day one when I started my practice. And over the period of time, whatever the new laws which have been there, it has always fascinated me. And the data privacy is something which is, again, something which is very close to my heart. And when the GDPR itself came or introduced, from that time, I was also working on it. And right now, we are working with many jurisdictions, advising many clients all over the jurisdictions, working with best of the law firms all over the world. And from there, I got a personal inclination, and my firm also indulges in all the new laws, just like DPDPA or Artificial Intelligence Act, which is upcoming, or the Digital Act, which may be coming in India in the near future. So this is how something which attracted me more towards these law, gamut of new laws. And we are in an age where artificial intelligence, everything is digitalized. So there we need to preserve ourselves, where we need to safeguard ourselves, and cybercrime is also enhancing on a daily basis. So this is the only thing what I have to share on this.
Certainly it's a brave new world since demonetization and opened a great door. I think most would agree it's been a net positive for India, but as you say, the threat of cybercrime lingers in the digital age. So I've heard people, multiple people, refer to the DPDPA as a landmark piece of legislation. And multiple groups have come out with their own briefings of it now that it's law. But what, broadly speaking, as a practitioner, why is it important?
Well, DPDP is very important, and for a country which has the second largest population in the world, also another statistics where we are top three internet users in the world. So this is alarming. So with the moment we talk about the internet usage, all implications come, and the digital is something we are living in the digital age. Now, having said that, our Supreme Court has already held in August 2017 that right to privacy is the fundamental right under Article 21 of the Constitution of India. And exactly after 6 years, on 11th August 2023, the DPDPA was enacted, though it is yet to be notified for its implementation and the rules are yet to be shared in the public domain. So this became very important to safeguard, to protect the data of Indian citizens as a data principle, and also the fundamental right which has been declared. So there was a big need of this particular enactment. Further, wherever the G20 has taken place, there also all the countries have so far enacted or implemented the DPDP. So that year was also the year where India was having the presidency of G20. So there are many couple of many reasons for which the DPDP becomes very significant. Not only that, there are many other factors which I would definitely like to share with you. As I said, that we are in the digital era, which governs the digital form of data only, and which is the one of its most unique facets. Now, not only that, if you see, talk about the dynamic penetration of FAANG companies, what we popularly known as the Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google, it can be noticed that they use data as one of their main resources. All our free-to-use platforms, that is again a very big alarm as well as challenging factor. But such platforms monetize data of users for attracting adverts and sell anonymized bulk data to third parties, which has come to the limelight time and again. And there were serious grievances also, which have floated time and again in the public domain. But there was no regulation to check it. Not only that, now again, another thing which is very important, that such massive influx in exchange of data necessitated the enactment of the DPDPA, which was long pending. And prior to DPDPA, only the IT Act was in place in India. So there was no regulation.
That was from the 80s.
Yes, that was from the ages, and that has not undergone the amendments or addressal of the growing needs or the challenges or risk that was arising. And AI is again a very big factor. So there were many factors which kept on adding, and IT Act, you rightly said, it was for the ages. Though there were certain things which went to Supreme Court struck down certain things. There were IT rules which have been laid down recently. Then again, IT rules were also revised again and again. It went through the constitutional courts. There were challenges. But then too, there was no data protection or the Privacy Act. So there was a need of that. The other thing is, only the information technology, reasonable security practices and procedures, and sensitive personal data or information rules, that was in 2011. And that was also passed under Section 43 of the IT. But that provided only some protection. But there were also loopholes into that, because it contained a huge lacuna as a personal information such as phone number, name, email, etc., was not included in the ambit of sensitive personal information. Though even the DPDP Act does not talk about the sensitive information. But having said that, rules are not in place till the date. So maybe they may address, because there are many other industry, just like medical health, so that has not many sensitive information, so that we will be seeing in the future. Not only that, so DPDP covers this lacuna by including definition of personal data. So that is in consonance with the Article 21, which our Honorable Supreme Court has declared to be the fundamental right. Along with the factor that internet access, and another important factor that we have the cheapest internet facility all over the world. If you compare the price you have to pay for the internet usage, India has the cheapest internet price. So you have accessibility to the internet. Everybody is prone to the internet. Your data is digitized the moment you log in, whether you want or not, whether by the cookies, whether you have given consent or not. There are many things attached to that. And the young generation, and if you will see also that India has the highest number of young generation in entire world, or the youngest population of the entire world, maximum resides in India. So these were the very sensitive aspects. And there was also threat to India as a nation, and when it comes to the protection of your personal right. And the data is something from which you are identified. So these were the things, and there were a lot many concerns. Many times people went to the constitutional courts, High Court or Supreme Court, and many times they were not having a dismissal of the grievance. So if you collect all these aspects, then you definitely felt for long that there is a dearth of a law which can regulate. And hence, it is very important. And the last but not the least is that for the first time, the DPDPA addresses the gender to be her. In all the enactments so far, the word which was used to address any person or individual was he so far. So government and the nation has welcomed this, and they have included she to be the person to be addressed under the entire DPDPA. So this becomes a more significant when we talk about, or any person talking about the DPD.
On that point, in an age where much has been made of the Aadhaar card,
yeah,
right, and that's a huge innovation for India. Now that you have the DPDPA, what does that mean for the Aadhaar card? That you can be, you can feel more comfortable and secure in your use of the Aadhaar card, that you know that now you've got protections if your data is mishandled, or if there's malfeasance, if there's some kind of bad act involving your data, if your data is mishandled and that there's some kind of criminal activity involving it, you know that there are legal safeguards. You've got protections. Whereas, as you said previously, the rules on the books did not give people redress for their grievances. What does the DPDPA mean for the Aadhaar card?
Aadhaar card has nothing to do with the data privacy or the data protection as such.
It is your personal data, right?
Yeah, it's not personal data, but it is as such. It is not protecting or creating some privacy. It is for the identification. Rather, there are many aspects which have been in the public domain, or rather, many grievances have been in the public domain. That's a misusage of the Aadhaar card also. So that's why the cyber crimes and all, these are the reports on daily basis. So that is all around the different. And Aadhaar card is not a regulation to control that how your data will be protected, how your data will be consented, how your data will be stored, how your data will be processed, and how the data will be ethically used, the accountability. So the regulation was required. Aadhaar is something, your identity is there. And even in the Aadhaar also, there are again two schools of debates are there, that the Aadhaar card should be masked so that nobody can manipulate or nobody can use it. Everything has been linked to the Aadhaar. So that is all altogether for a different purpose, not for the data business.
I guess what I'm wondering is, what does this mean? I can understand if you're a young urban professional in Bombay and you use your credit card, that there's a likelihood, or any of these pay services, Paytm, I can see how maybe your data might be stolen, just law of averages. But what is the DPDPA? Will it have any meaning? Will it have any effect for someone who's in the villages who accesses the internet via their phone versus someone in the middle class or upper middle class in a city like Bombay who accesses it over the internet? It would seem to me this would matter more to someone in an urban setting, in the cities, or maybe I'm thinking in old-fashioned terms, but do you see what I'm saying? I mean...
Oh, I understood. See, Ajay, that's a very good question. I would like to address in a different way. See, just imagine your data, I have it, whereas you have not given the consent, whether I live in the remotest village of India or whether I'm living in any urban place where I'm more conscious about my data.
Exactly. Like, and the people in the cities probably know their rights better.
Yeah, that's right.
The people in the villages less so.
That's right. That's why I'm coming to. So imagine such a situation. If I'm having your data, which you have not authorized me to use it or to purpose for the specified purpose, and I share with any other purpose, with any other person, right? Where there is a privacy, your privacy is infringed. Even you are living as a villager or in an urban place, ultimately your right to privacy is of course impacted. Now, if you say that it is going to only impact the urban, it is not every time will be right. To some extent, you can say, yeah, they are not conscious about it. That is the reason the DPDPA comes with the fundamentals, the principles that you have to do this, and the consent becomes the more prominent. Unless you take the consent. Otherwise, what happens? That if I'm having your data, I call you, that I'm calling from such and such bank, or I've been authorized to do this, and you have deposited your money in bank and you are from a village, then you will not be knowing the data, whether the person calling is a genuine or a fraud. So I will be asking that you give me your OTP and I take your entire money, hard-earned money, and you will be impacted the most. So that is one of the implication if where the data is not controlled. There is no mechanism. So the data privacy, that person who is collecting and digitizing, the onus has been casted upon that person from the starting phase or the first phase, that it should be protected. If you see the preamble of our DPDPA, that the need to process and the protection. It not only says the only protection. There has to be a need and the protection.
Right.
So the more emphasis has been given that the protection. And for that reason, even you are conscious about your rights or not, you are a villager, of course. Nobody can be knowing about the entire law in every manner. Even many urban people may be also not knowing. That possibility cannot be ruled out. Unless that person or that gentleman or any person has gone through the nitty-gritty of a law, or, okay, this law is there to safeguard, these are my right as a data principle. That has to be. The law enshrines a lot many facets of the aspects. But unless they know, they're unknown. So that unknownness can be in the village also or in the urban areas.
I agree. I'm playing into the stereotype or the
yeah.
caricature, because urban does not necessarily mean
exactly
sophisticated and educated.
Yeah.
Just as the people in the villages are not necessarily chumps.
Yeah.
That guy could be a farmer, but he could have a degree in engineering from MIT. And I know
exactly.
Such
people. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In fact, Ajay, this modern India has more professionals, more scientists, well-known dignities are coming from the villages. So gone are the days when we are talking about India with the snake charmers, so the people are not aware about the data privacy,
right?
Something. They are more conscious. They know many things. they are coming with many scientific or artificial intelligence companies are being floated to other remotest villages.
It's a connected world, right?
Yes, they are. Yeah. Some of the biggest YouTubers are also living in these areas. So it is, and the same can be applicable to the urban also. They maybe have known. So there cannot be sit. Ultimately, they're
right. The guy might be an accountant. He goes to the office. He does his job. He doesn't know much outside of his own profession, his own field.
Exactly. That person might not have ruled up.
So now that you gave a good example, so someone gives you their OTP and they take all your money. So then this directly brings me to my next question, which is something I'm really interested in, having covered the compliance beat for many years. What does the DPDPA mean to compliance officers and in-house counsel at banking and financial institutions and multinational corporations in India?
Yes.
What do they need to learn? What do they need to come to grips with to meet their compliance obligation?
These organizations or this sector...
Because they've taken India for granted to a great extent.
You can say so. See, I say it in a different way manner. Of course, I concur with you because there were many things which were required or other things were not required at all. They were taking extra data also. But I
such,
say...
Such as Google.
Yes, exactly, such as Google. So, I say this sector, the moment you say banking and financial institution for this sector, I say they are having... They are playing with this dynamite, which is the data. And the data influxes so much that every nanosecond, they are generating data, and data is in excess of what is being required. So the very first thing what they need to do is they need to respect data. To me and my firm, we have started a hashtag that respect data. We have been using it for long. That this is the first thing what these financial or the banking institutions should do as an ethical policy to respect data. The moment they will start respecting data, the compliance becomes more easier for any of the organization, and especially for this organization. I was speaking in one of the platform for IAPP, where I was talking about this banking and financial institution sector. There also, I pointed out certain things which I am going to share here also. See, you need to think about what are the challenges firstly, and why you are collecting the data, from whom you are collecting the data, and that data is going to how many of your partners. The bank or institution, they are not collecting the data at their own at the first place. They have many channel partners. And channel partners needs to be controlled. That is the first thing. Whether you want or not, channel partners may be many partners. Say, with the travel insurance or the medical insurance or the car insurance. So there are many particular stakeholders who are working with you, not only as a bank or the financial or the, in fact, the insurance sector also. So these all three, if you say, they are dealing with the highest number of data. So they should start respecting data. They should understand what is the necessity and why this is required, the lawful purpose and the specified purpose. Here, I must emphasize upon the particularly Section 5, which is more relevant for everyone. I mean, relevant for everyone, but especially for the bank. See, in the Section 6.1 of the DPDPA, if I will say, I will read it. I'm compelled to read it. I generally don't read any section, but it is very much necessary, so I will read it for a minute. The consent given by the data principal shall be free. Specific. This is the first time word specific has been used. Informed. Unconditional. And unambiguous. With a clear affirmative action, and shall signify an agreement to the processing of her personal data for the specified purpose. This is the second time the specified word is used, and be limited to such personal data as is necessary for such specified purpose. My purpose of reading this Section 6.1 of the DPDP Act was to emphasize that the legislation, when they have enacted the Section 6(1), they have deliberately, consciously used the word specific or specified. And again, it is similar manner, specified purpose, not purposes. That needs to be understood by every sector. And whereas this particular sector, banking or insurance, they need to understand more that they have to collect the data only for the specific purpose. And the data which is actually required, whether it is mandated by the RBI or any other regulations in place. Because the DPDPA carves out an exception where it gives a room for other laws to work harmoniously only when it does not contravene or it does not impact its purpose as such. So they should, these sectors should regulate a mechanism which should be robust, that the data should not be leaked. I will give you one example. In India, if I will talk about not when even the DPDP was not in place, or still when the DPDP has not been implemented, you get so many calls. And people start saying that I'm talking on behalf of such and such bank or such and such insurance, but I have not given the consent. And most of the time, they are using this diplomatic word on behalf of. And nobody is going to verify that whether that person is genuine or not. And what is the source of the data? How they got that data? And the data, that's why you say they are data dynamites. They have the highest number of data, and every day they have the data for many reasons. And say if you apply for the loan, they take almost all your documents, right from the financial to your residential, your whereabouts, your medical conditions and everything. They have all sorts of data with them. So it is a time when certain parameters may be fixed, that the data is not inflexed, or the data is taken in such a manner that you take it only in a one-way manner, that whatever data you wish or whatever data you feel deemed fit, you can ask. Why? Who has empowered you? Problem is, there was no regulation. So now, with this, they need to understand that I can take data only at this, and I have to protect, as the DPDP says, need to process and to protect. So the onus is on them, and also they have to see their partners. There are many examples all over the jurisdiction, especially in the GDPR, where the data was used or the data was taken in excess, and they face the heat of very high fine.
Yes, I recall that they were so liberal in their accumulation of people's data that sometimes even I felt myself being asked questions that seemed a little odd. I'm like, how does that information about me have any bearing on this transaction or the nature of my relationship with your particular company or establishment?
Exactly. So that is the concern, and they need to...
It was as though they were going on fishing expeditions, that there was too much overreach, because I can understand the commercial value of such data, but that has no bearing on that particular commercial relationship I may have with them. But that's what I said, that they were getting away with it for the longest time. Yeah.
And another factor is very important, the banks, particularly the banking and the financial institutions.
I can understand they want to do cross-marketing. They want to see what else they can sell you.
Cross-selling is the business model. But now I tell you, it is very fit for these industries, this sector, that the trust factor will be now associated with these institutions after the DPDP will be in place. So if if I've taken some services from a bank or an insurance or a financial institution, and if I say that, or if I find the too many calls or too many marketing mails are coming, or the purpose for which I have not given my data, they will also become non-reliable. Whereas my known person or the friend says that, look, I'm working with this, or I've availed the services of this, and they are very fair. Lawful usage, the fairness, the reasonableness is there. And they are not, disturbing me, or they are not sharing my data. So that more trust will be with that company, that banking or the financial. So now the competitive edge will be also for this industry. They should, it's a high time when they should be always also be conscious that these distractions, which have been a very big nuisance, after this DPDP in place, they have to create lot many red flags. They have to check these points, entry point as well as outgo points. The data should not be in hands of any or every person, not with any Tom, Harry, Dick. So that will be the one of the things which they need to work upon. They should have a greater good SOPs in place. They should have the robust data protection strategies, then the policies. They should train their internal persons as well as the channel partners. They should have a audit mechanism more for the outsiders and insider also. Because see, and this sector always brings one very important factor, that is the insider risk. They are more prone to insider risk, and they will be facing lot many heat due to the DPDP hefty penalties. The reason being, all over the world, if you will see, wherever the data breaches have been reported, more than 55% was due to insider risk. And these sectors are more prone to insider risk because they are dealing with more of the data, and the data which are more of a nature of a personal data. So they have to be more conscious. And it is not that one-time study they have carried out, one-time training they have done. No, it is not so. They have to take care of this. Otherwise, some of the companies will be losing business, losing trust, and also losing their bottom line. And that will be very difficult for them to survive. So they have to, that's why I have to reiterate my the first word. They have to have a policy where their motto or their preamble should be that respect data. And these rules are not the exception.
Coming to that point then, what can organizations do? I mean, for example, most modern compliance officers will tell you, you can't separate risk from compliance. That before you devise a compliance program for an institution or branch, you have to do a risk assessment to figure out what are the risks inherent in that environment for that company, for that branch or that establishment, that office. So with that paradigm in mind, with that approach in mind, what can organizations do to come up with a comprehensive approach to devise an effective data protection strategies for themselves?
Yes, that will be, I will say, now in this digital era, and especially after DPDP in place, it will be a reality for sure in 2024. It's only a moment, it's a matter of time. They have to realize and they have to start working on effective data protection strategies. There are many pillars. I will share almost 11 or 12 pillars that how they can have, they can formulate an effective data protection strategy. The first being that they need to understand the DPDP 2023 in a holistic manner. It is, when I say holistic manner, it is not that they have gone through the provisions and they feel, you know, we have made everything and we are fine. Whenever the problem will come, we will see to it. It is not.
So that holistic as opposed to legalistic.
Yeah, legal aspect. I'm coming to that. All are interconnected.
Yeah.
DPDP is not only about the legal aspect, but the entire legal aspects is founded on the bedrock of all the system in place in your organization. So the first starting or the touch point will be the understanding the DPDPA, you familiarize the DPDPA, that understanding the rights of data principle, the very first. Obligations of the data fiduciary, if you are a data fiduciary or you are a significant data fiduciary, then whether you have any data cross-border transfer which is occurring, then you need to understand what are the rules, regulations in place, or how it is going to impact, or whether you are under the restricted list with the government will be coming. And there are many things which will be coming under the rules or the regulation from the time. And the, what are the penalties for the non-compliance? And that should not be only understood. The DPDP should not be only understood by the general counsels or the IT person, but by the all stakeholders. And when I say all the stakeholders, then HR is also one of the important, the board also. And the board, this time, they should not only talk about the DPDPA as a passing reference or as a formality. They should take it to be an important pillar to survive and to be in the competition. DPDPA is that much important. Then they should also try to analyze, when understanding DPDPA, that how it is at par or how it is differing with the GDPR or CCPA or any other major jurisdiction regulations or any adverse rulings which has come. So you can be proactive. So that will bring the understanding of the DPDPA. That is the one. The second thing will be the data governance and the classification. Then again, data governance comes with the responsibility. Data governance comes with the ethical working, where you have imbibed the culture, where you really mean that we all as a team, all as an organization, or the channel partners, or the data processors, third-party data processor, all have one mission to respect data. For that, you need to conduct thorough data mapping exercise to identify what personal data is collected, what are the sources, why it is collected, and to what extent it is required, and how it is being processed and stored, up to what time, and why it is retained to that much purpose. What is the purpose? So there has to be a classification. And this data governance and classification strategy will be very important. This is not only the purpose for the mapping or identifying or the classifying, but it will be also going to the structural data structures, data pockets. When you will be talking about when the grievance will come, how you will identify, because everything is connected with the reasonableness. The DPDPA is a very important, enactment, which is quite different from the other jurisdictions. And it will be evolving in a very different manner because it focuses on many other aspects, and one being reasonableness. If in the entire DPDP Act, you will find many places the word reasonableness has been used, reasonable. So an onus has been casted upon you that you will be acting reasonably. You won't be acting arbitrarily. So this will be data governance and classification. The third way, consent and data subject rights. Then again, when you take the data before processing, you should have the consent. The consent, how you are taking consent so far? If not, then what are the ways you are going to take the consent? And it's not only about taking the consent. You have to store that consent also in a proper manner. Because if some person comes and says, I have not given you consent, how you will trace it out? How you will justify that you have taken the consent and in a rightful manner? That should be free, unconditional. So there are many things. And for the specific purpose, and you have informed them in a clear affirmative action, and for what purpose you have taken. And again, the consent should be also in English or in other 22 languages, whatever is as per the Schedule 8 of the Constitution of India. So these are the very important strategies. And then what are the rights of those individuals? How you are taking, how you are informing them when you are taking the data from that particular person? Oh, the DPDPA considered to be a data person. The fourth will be the data protection measures. What technical safeguards you have taken to protect that data? Because the preamble to the DPDPA says the needs to process and protect. So the protection will be in a manner where you have to deploy all the reasonableness. You cannot say that it remained to be or it was going to be. All reasonableness have to be in place. The data protection measures, just like say security measures, encryption, anonymization, access controls, Again, access control is connected with insider risks and regular security audits. So that has to be enshrined in your startup. Then policies and procedures, how it will be implemented, how the incident response plans will be there, how quick we will be doing, how the grievances will be addressed, what will be the breach notification procedures. If the breach is there, how early you are going to inform particular data principal from whom you have taken the data for the processing to the board, in whatever manner. Then the fifth pillar is data processing and the third-party management. There are many bad incidences due to third-party data processors, their fault, their data breaches. The companies have to pay hefty fines under the GDPR. The lacuna was also in the agreement. So there also you have to see not only the data processing and the third-party management. There you have to address, you have to learn everything, and you have to have the robust agreement in the place. So data processing agreements, third-party contracts, vendor assessment, whether that vendor has those policies, they are aligned with all the controls, whether it is the technical or the principal, how particular vessels are trained, whether the data processed is stored, how it is stored, how it is protected. And sixth being training and awareness. That will be again a constant process, because when you will be implementing or you have implemented in your organization, there may be many intrinsic as well as extrinsic challenges or the bad incidences for which you have to review and constantly upgrade the awareness, training. And that will be also for your third-party vendors or the channel partners, especially, again, the banking, financial, or insurance. That will be there also. Red flagging has to be again. And red flagging, not only the red flagging amongst the only the GC or the data protection officer, DPO, or the IT person, whoever in charge or they are working, HR, again, very important stakeholder. The red flagging should be also a matter of the board of a company on a regular basis. And what addressal has been there, how effective it has been. The awareness program should be carried out. Then the seventh will be the data protection impact assessment. Again, it is a very big task. It is a Herculean task. There are many facets. There are again very, you have to connect dots. You have to identify the dots for your organization. I say dots means there are many factors you have to identify. Looking to your transaction, business transaction, data storage, the nature of data, how long you have to store. Because every organization, every business have different challenges. If you talk about the health sector, there are many challenges. So you need to understand your tenure. It has to be enshrined in the policy. Everything should be clear as daylight. It is not that it is in the implied manner. Nothing doing. That's why I read Section 6.1 of the DPDP Act, the specified, specific. That means it is as clear as daylight without any ambiguity. Then the eighth will be the legal and regulatory updates. Whatever are the updates in the law, whatever the changes are being carried out, whatever are the modes, manner, rules, procedures, or even any cases or the board of the data protection, which will be the governing for the whole implementation and the grievances. What instruction, how they have disposed any grievance, bad experiences, everything you have to again update. Again, it will be interconnected with the training. Then the ninth is very again important, the documentation and record keeping. For every stage, right from the consent, data protection policy, bad experiences, grievance of the data principal, breaches, how early you have addressed, how you have reported the concern, major stakeholders, what sort of contracts is in the place, how the contracts have been placed, it should be vetted again and again. And it is a constant process. It is nowhere in the world if somebody will say that we have a global policy. Yesterday I had a discussion with one of the major German company. They're saying, we have a global policy. Now, in India, we want to have that. I think most of the things are aligned. I said, I'm afraid to accept it because it is in the public domain. Our Indian government has highlighted many times that the digital act is coming, artificial intelligence is coming, and we are going to set many benchmarks. But that means we are not going to be another data protection regime, but we will be creating more robust system, because implementing DNB-DPA in such a big country itself is a challenge. So quickly, the last three pillars is preparing for audits and certifications. So there are many audits which should be in the place addressed in this data protection policy. And if you need, if you feel, yes, more audit should be done, it should be reviewed and included. And certifications also, there are many certifications which you should ask for, so that your system, because human being can fail, system never fails. So culture has to be imbibed for that. And the continuous improvement again is the 11th pillar. And then 11th, 12th will be the additional resources. You should hire not only in-house, but you should take external help of the legal or other external counsels or the experts in this domain. And then you create a robust data protection policy.
I guess what I'm wondering is, I can understand the multinational corporations and banks wanting to harmonize their policies globally across borders, across all the jurisdictions where they operate. Even though we know that when it comes to data privacy, data protection laws, this is an area that is rife with turf wars across different governments, and that for as long as the profession of financial crime, let's take that AML, a subject I know about, for as long as that has existed, the struggle, the long struggle has been transferring client data across borders from different branches in different jurisdictions. But that, you know, that's essential for KYC, but it comes up against the brick wall of different jurisdictions having different rules on data privacy. So if that is the world we're living in, then is it impossible to have a globalized, harmonized policy on data privacy for these institutions and organizations?
Well, see, Ajay, that's why I gave an example of Jammu and Company to address particularly the...
I guess, basically, does it mean that they need to tailor it for each market?
Exactly. They cannot think about that, okay, we have a global policy, let us replicate here and with certain amendments, comma, and if words. No, nothing. It is not. I'm afraid. I cannot advise like that, because that's why I just... shit, that India is going to set many benchmarks.
And also a country like India does have more power and more leverage. Than say a Malaysia or an Indonesia.
See, the cross-border or the data transfer...
Because size of who you are on the global stage and the size of your economy...
Yes, that's right.
...has a lot to do with it as well.
Exactly. There are many challenges.
Yeah.
And that is the reason we have to come out with many innovative things. And that's why you said the government is clear that we will be setting benchmark.
Exactly. So we can't allow your foreign rules to stifle our innovation.
Exactly. So we need to understand what DPDPA intends to achieve.
Right.
And not that another... data protection policy which has been implemented in the form of DPDPA in India. It is not so. I'm afraid at least.
So where should they look for tips to formulate solid data protection policy? Should they look overseas? Where can they seek guidance? Or is it a matter of they need to seek the help of outside counsel to help them devise the right data protection policy for their organization?
Yeah, that's a very important thing. Just like we talked about data protection strategy, the policy is almost similar. The particular touch point or the pillars are almost similar. But I would like to address on 15 aspects.
Okay.
So the first will be again similar. Most of the things will be similar, but I will try to differentiate, or I will put it another way. So understand legal requirements. What is required to be done? It will be more on the compliance, the checklist, and particularly your jurisdiction, and if any other implication is there under other jurisdiction. So that legal requirement has to be carried out. So it will be more on the understanding the checklist, and the regulatory compliance requirement. That will be the first thing they should focus. Second thing will be, if you are a significant data fiduciary, as the government will come, they will notify who will be a significant data fiduciary. Otherwise, data fiduciary will be most of the organizations will be the data fiduciary. So they should appoint, if they, you are a significant data fiduciary, then you have to appoint a data protection office. Or any consent manager, whoever is required as per the working, or but particularly whether you are tagged as significant data fiduciary or data fiduciary or whatever, irrespective of that, any person responsible. That person appointment should be in a very meticulous manner. That should be the important part of your policy, data protection policy. The reason being, because that person's role will be not only to troubleshoot, to see and to connect the dots, collaborate with all the internal departments, all the stakeholders, as well as the external partners, and that person should have an equal exposure or equal knowledge of the technical aspects and not only the legal aspects. So the policy should be that zeroing upon a person who is responsible, you call it by any name. I'm not saying, because there are many things which I've already shared. That person should understand the nitty-gritty. That is the second. Third will be identify the scope. Define who the policy will affect. This policy is going to affect whom? Whether employees, contractors, partners, customers, or any external stakeholders in any manner. That is, again, a very important fact. Then conducting data audit. Inventory, what sort of data you collect, where it is coming from, how it is used, where it is stored. Then when the moment you say stored, stored itself is the ocean. In what manner it has been classified, in what manner it will be pocketed, in what manner it will not be in the silos, how you will be checking that this data is not required and it will be deleted. Because see, what I say is, if you have to be conscious, or if you want to avoid the risk of the DPDPA or the thrash of penalty under DPDPA, I say, act like the most miser person in collecting data. Never be a greedy person. Let everything come and let everything be stored. Stop that mentality. Remove what is not required. I give you one example, Ajay. It's most apt. In India, you must be aware, we have a festival, Diwali, where we clean up our household. We clean everything, whatever is dirty or unwanted.
Right.
For the reason that Goddess Lakshmi will bless with the wealth, harmony, peace, joy, happiness, everything.
So that's akin to a purge of unnecessary data.
Exactly. At par, the whatever we are doing during the Diwali, same thing you have to implement with your data. Remove this, whatever is not. That's why you use the terminal silo, whatever are not even used, but is still lying. Why to keep it? Remove it. Minimize it. There are fundamental principles, 7 principles of the data privacy all over the jurisdiction. The minimization, purpose limitation, storage to minimal. So these are some of the bedrock of this principles, bedrock principles of the data protection. So this audit should not be in a mechanical manner, but it should be effective. So that policy should address the every step in a very exhaustive manner and not a mechanical manner. So you need to involve all the stakeholders, the persons who are experienced, they have equal exposure about the IT sector also and the law. They have to be the team, in the team. So training and all. Then define key principles. The policy should reflect the key principles of data protection, what I was telling, the lawfulness, fairness, transparency, purpose limitation, data minimization, storage limitation, integrity and confidentiality. And I will say the 8th principle, what I want to say is respect data. that should be in this one. Then, so that it binds more of it. Now, the data collection, the sixth point will be in the policy. They describe the types of data you are collecting and the legal basis, because the lawful purpose, and the lawful purpose is defined in the SAT, that what is not expressly restricted or forbidden by the law. So you have to be a reasonable person in collecting the data, every sector. Then seventh may be the data usage. Clearly define the purpose for data collection and processing, and for what it will be used, and when till when it will be used. The moment it has been used and there won't be any further usage, lawful usage, then you have to have a system in place. That should be in the policy. So your internal policy, this is not only document, but this will be a system which will guide you that you are on the right path. Because external risk, you don't know, you can't predict. You are not an astrologer. And even you are prone to already insider risk. Statistics of 50% is very high. So you need to understand, and data usage is something where you have to focus more. Then again, it is connected with the 8th point, the data storage. How it has been stored, till when, and security. Password, data control, control access, encryption. Why it is being given in access to any person, and at what intervals. Say if a person is using at regular intervals, but he is not using it during many of the time, then those should be stored. There is no purpose why. It cannot be a mechanical manner. It's actually reasonableness. Reasonableness is there. I'm reiterating again and again. And data sharing and transfer. This will be the most prone area, whether it's a cross-border or even with the partners for the processing. This will be something where all stakeholders will be required to check and should have a robust policy for particularly for this. Then data subject rights. From where the data principal, from whom you are collecting the data, how well you are informing them, what are their rights, and who is the grievance officer to whom they can connect, or whether it is the changing of the data, or they want what data you have stored, or any grievance, or removal of the data. So everything is interconnected. Then the very important part is data breach procedure. You cannot delay. Reasonableness again. You have to be prompt in action, taking action. So that robust policy for each and everything, and then there will be a master policy. Then do's and don'ts. What are the best global practices, and what are should we avoid? What should not be done at the first place? Not only internal, but outside also, with whom you are working, or even you are taking the consent. The policy reviews and updates, that should be also part of this policy. That how, when this policy was reviewed, whether all the bad experiences or any important approvals or important regulatory updates were factored, that should be part of this policy. Every time that should be added, then only you can have a check. You can have a robust data protection policy. And data protection policy is not a one-time exercise. It will go along with your business. If you are looking for a run, looking to run your business 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, all these years, you have to keep changing and updating, improving your data protection policy.
That could get cumbersome, but to come back to your earlier point about the impact assessment that needs to be done, could you elaborate on that? How should the data protection impact assessment be performed?
Yes.
I mean, could you flesh that out a bit, please?
So the data protection impact assessment is something you are assessing, you are understanding, you are analyzing, you are formulating, and you are implementing the risks. And what are the factors which is going to impact right from your data collection to the data retention and in between process and the lawful purpose or whatever the policies or the principles. So if you have to understand whether the DPIA, which is Data Protection Impact Assessment, is mandatory. Yes. DPIA is mandatory. At least the significant data fiduciary has to undertake. And for that, they should explain that what are the rights of the data principles, purpose of processing of the personal data, assessment and management of the risks to the rights of the data principle, and such other matters regarding such process, which may be prescribed by the, either the DPDPA or the rules made there. So the DPIA is mandatory for the data significant data fiduciaries, but it is advisable, irrespective of that, other organization, though it is not mandatory, but they should definitely carry out so that you can understand what exactly you are dealing, how this can impact your working. Then secondly, if I say that whether a separate DPIA should be carried out for each and every project, where you are carrying out some different project where you are collecting different sort of data. Yes, every project have to be carried out, have to be verified again from the same angle, and DPIA should be carried out for those projects. Third will be, again, what are the broader heads of a DPIA, or which has to be assessed in a DPIA, ideal DPIA. So the three heads, what we call, first is associated with data principle, whatever are the risks. So the risk associated with the three headings, what I'm telling you. The first is the risks associated with the data principles. Second is corporate risks. And the third is compliance risks. So these risks should be taken care of, and that is the broader picture of entirety. Then the fourth will be important question, which many people say, that whether DPIA should be published. Of course, it has to be documented. It should be published, because significant data fiduciary has to even otherwise keep it. If an audit is there, or they have to show, or any breach is there, they should have. Yes, we have carried out. Another organization should also do it, and they should also have DPI in place, so that any additional risk is there, they can act, they can know what are the risks associated with the existing or the new project. Then in that also, again, there can be a fact sheet in the DPIA, which will be again a very exhaustive sheet, which I will just sum up, because we are already running out of time. So the first will be, again, the project name and description. Second will be information about the data collector. Third will be the purpose of data collection. Fourth will be data categories, then data sources. Sixth will be data processing activities. Seventh will be data recipients. Who are the data recipients? Eight will be risk assessment. Nine will be mitigation measures. Tenth will be the legal compliance. And the 11th will be the contact information in case of any adversity is reported or this. So these are the measures. Otherwise, the DPIA itself is a very exhaustive subject. 1 hour or 2 hours is also very loose. So this is all about DPIA.
In the time we've got left, I mean, previously the statute that everyone looked to globally, you know, for international standards, was Europe's GDPR. I guess that's been in place now since, what, 2018? To what extent do the DPDPA draw inspiration from the GDPR, or was this something that India built for itself from the ground up, for its own, based on its own particular national circumstances?
Ajay, this is a very important question, and many times there are differences also, and then many times you can say there are different schools, particularly to project it in a different manner. But I keep it very simple.
Sure.
One thing is the basic principles, the seven principles are one and the same. Because you cannot have different principles. But of course, the reasonableness, what has been added particularly. And the other things would be definitely set out in particular rules. Then only we will be able to differentiate. It is a very premature stage, because only by the DPDP Act, which itself says that the rules will be prescribing. So if I, at this point of time, only on the basis of the DPDPA and the GDPR, I formulate there are differences, then it will be a premature or a wrong statement from my end. Though there are a couple of articles of people have been advocating that there are differences, But I say it is a premature stage to demarcate because the rules are not in place. And the DPDP Act itself points out as prescribed by the rules. So it may be that the rules will be categorically aligning with the GDPR or it will be differentiating altogether. So this is my take. But additionally, I say that the reasonableness and the preamble, which is the substantive difference from the GDPR. And of course, there will be a lot many challenges which European nations will not be facing, which we will be facing as the highest internet user and the population. So, of course, DPDPR is going to be different than GDPR. This is what I can say, but I will again go with the disclaimer. The rules are still to come.
Right. Which governmental body agency will be responsible for oversight and enforcement of the DPDPA?
Yeah, of course, it will be the board. This board will be constituted. That board will be addressing all the implementation and whatever the grievances.
And any advice to, because we are a program affiliated with HKU, any advice to students, young people, you know, attorney, lawyers in the early stage of the career, wanting to get into data privacy and cybersecurity and data protection law? What would you say to guide them? What should they do? What should they read? How can they best prepare themselves for such a career? Any thoughts, advice, tips?
Yes, Ajay, to understand any law, you have to understand why it is made. That is very clear from the preamble. Second thing is learn from the bad experiences globally. What created the breaches? Why it was? Those things should be understood. And then, of course, the DPDP Act, the DPDP, they have to read thoroughly. And there will be many regulations which may be coming from time to time. As I say, India is a very big population. So challenges and all, so they will be setting benchmark, and that will definitely give them a lot of learning experience. And it is a constant process. This is what I can share. And as a student, everyone has to keep their knowledge updated. Even I am not an exception because I am a student of law on daily basis. So that will be applicable to them.
Well, that's why they call it the practice of law, right? You do it again and again and again until you get it right, or you develop mastery of your craft. But that's why, you know, lawyers have continuing education requirements. But and in this field, because you're a member of the IAPP, there are several different credentials. Increasingly, I'm hearing about the CIPP credential, and then there's a CIPP for the U.S., Asia, Europe, Canada. The suggestion is, because of the importance of GDPR and how even Asian jurisdictions are following that, the suggestion has been given to some students or takers of that exam, those pursuing that credential, do the CIPP test credential that's tailored for Europe, because that'll give you greater exposure to GDPR. What are your thoughts? I mean, what credentials would you require, or should they pursue them all? Or maybe that's not practical given time and expense, but...
Yeah, that's right. The practical experiences will be gained only when you will be dealing with the nitty-gritties or the problems. But of course, the credential, when it comes to credential, definitely, IAPP have made so many courses for various jurisdictions. They can definitely opt for it. And in addition to that, there are many other jurisdictional courses also, in addition to the IAPP. So that can be also taken at an additional factor. But IAPP always.
Is there anything you feel we didn't cover before we let you go?
I will only repeat those two things. That firstly, you have to understand the nitty-gritty of this law and why this law is there.
Okay.
And start respecting data. That is the golden mantra which I can say to everyone in any jurisdiction. If you will start respecting data, you will imbibe a culture where you will be safeguarding everything while processing or collecting data, consent, or storing or deleting in whatever manner, whatever are and during this process. So data, respect data is the biggest weapon to save yourself under any data privacy regime, in any jurisdiction.
Okay, well, I think that's a good place to leave it. Respect data, spare yourself the problem of fines and regulatory sanctions. Anand, thank you so much for your time. We must do it again.
My pleasure. It was great talking with you and sharing insights, whatever I can do. Time was very less. Otherwise, all topics are very exhaustive.
Must have you back again. And to our listeners, thank you again. Until next time.